mine, make room for a king. We want to have room. When I say that word make room. The lesson is you may have to change your schedule to fit Jesus in your, quote, busy, unquote, life. With all the things that you have to do, with all the obligations, with just the things that we want to do, you have to make room, change your plans. Because you want Jesus, or you should want Jesus, in your life. Just said it's one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. We learned about the Lord's cradle from the time we left our cradle. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophecies concerning him were made. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, it said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We'll call his name Emmanuel." And then when Jesus was born, and Matthew gives the recording of it, the angel's message to Joseph included Isaiah's prophecy. The angel said to Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, beginning of verse 22, that now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, to bring forth a son, to call his name Emmanuel." This is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. He took unto him his wife, knew her not, till she brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus. The Old Testament prophecies and foretelling that story in Micah 5 verse 2 says that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he'd be born of the tribe of Judah. Other prophecies made mention about this birth of Jesus hundreds of years before that birth took place. Prophesied in Psalms 40:41 that one of Jesus' disciples would betray him. In Zechariah chapter 11, it mentions the 30 pieces of silver by which Judas would betray. Speaks of the potter's field. Isaiah 53 foretells of Jesus' suffering and his trial and his crucifixion hundreds of years before the event. Psalm 24, it tells that when Jesus be crucified, there would not be a bone broken. Psalm 16 speaks of his resurrection. So these prophecies, and literally hundreds more, made by different men of old and at different times and different places, all coming true, are among the many proofs that Jesus really was the Son of God. But even with all of this foretelling, Jesus was not always welcomed or received. And it's these unwelcomed events that give us the lesson this morning. Now, I've listed these events in Jesus' life. They begin at his birth, where the text says there was no room in the inn. But we're going to notice all through his public ministry, there was not room for Jesus in the lives and in the cities of many places where he went. Let's take a look at number one. In our text that was read to us in verse 7, it says there was no room for them in the inn. Again, it sets the stage for his ministry. But here's the background. In verse 1 of the text, came to pass in those days city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Each Jew went to their home city because that's where the ancestral records were kept. What's interesting to this is that Mary went with Joseph, and she didn't have to go. Joseph could have enrolled for her because she was expecting that child. It's an 80-mile journey. Crude conditions. Why go? Why did Mary go? See, God had a providential hand in guiding them to the right place at the right time. When Paul writes to the brethren at Galatia, in Galatians 4, verse 4, says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. See, God, according to the prophecy that he'd already given to the prophets hundreds of years before the event, made sure that Joseph and Mary were at the right place at the right time in fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 7 says she brought forth her firstborn son. Significant that Jesus was Mary's firstborn son. Common knowledge among the people of that era that Joseph and Mary had other children. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 53, it's an interesting story in the life of Jesus during his ministry. It says, it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. He came to his own country, place where he dwelt. He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch they were astonished. And they said, and then Matthew gives a series of six questions concerning these people that had heard Jesus with all these miracles, or the parables, and performing the miracles. Now he goes to his home country. And they're astonished at his teaching. And they said, the first question, where did this man get his wisdom and mighty works? Second question, isn't this the carpenter's son? Well, Joseph and Mary's son. Third question, is not his mother called Mary? Fourth question, are not his brothers? List them. The names of Jesus' half-brothers, the brothers. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Are not, the next question, fifth question, are not all his sisters with us? And the last question, where did this man get all this? So it's interesting that in the text that was read, just that phrase, Mary brought forth her firstborn. There'll be others. But when God sent his son, you're familiar with the verse in John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not his firstborn, his only begotten son, through Mary and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God's only begotten son. Mary has children with Joseph, her husband. In verse 7 of the text, that she laid him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. Jesus was not cradled in a palace, rather it's a borrowed manger for his birth. And again, even during his ministry, it's stated in Matthew 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have where to lay his head. Like there's no room, Jesus. That's a lesson. It was a borrowed beast upon which he rode into Jerusalem. It's a borrowed grave for his body when he was removed from the cross. It seemed like in all through Jesus' life, there's no room. No room. And that's verse 7, no room in the inn. You know, when our boys were born, we prepared way ahead of time for their birth. Fixed a room. Way ahead of time. But then in Jesus' life, there was no a long wait before we get to another city, so they went into that hotel anyway. They pleaded with the clerk, and he said, we have no vacancy. The man said, well, let me ask you something. The President of the United States were here right now. You would find a room for him, wouldn't you? The clerk said, well, of course, if the President were here, certainly. The man said, well, the President's not coming. I'll take his room. See, like Jesus in his ministry, it began with the exact phrase, there's no room in the inn. Number two, and you know, there's no room in Jerusalem. After his birth in Herod's thinking, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they were departed, it says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The angel said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt. Was there until the death of Herod, that it might be spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called you. So now even after Jesus was born, he was 2 years old, now there wasn't any room in the inn, now there's not any room in Jerusalem, in Herod's thinking. And now the Bible presents Jesus as an adult in the Gospels and presents his ministry. And again, this is characteristic of his ministry. There's no room. Number three in your notes, there was no room in the country of Gadara. When Jesus was in this country, he performed some miracles and he healed a man that was possessed with devils. Describes this man as he came out of the tomb exceedingly fierce. So Jesus took the devils out of the man and cast them into a herd of swine. Wine ran down a steep place into the sea. And when the herdsmen saw what happened to their swine, they fled to the city and told the people what happened. In Matthew 8, verse 34, it says, behold, the whole city came to meet Jesus. They're not there to apply. They're not there to say, oh, would you preach a lesson to us? They came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, the verse says, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Jesus, you're not welcome here. No room for Jesus in this country. In Gadara. Number four, there was no room for Jesus in Galilee, his own country. Even though his family and those that knew him, his friends, were astonished at his teaching, they still couldn't believe he was the Messiah. Again, they said, as we read a moment ago, that's Joseph and Mary's son. His brothers and his sisters are all here with us. And in Matthew 13, verse 57, it says, they were offended in him. So Jesus gives that familiar phrase. You know, a prophet has honor everywhere except in his own country. And in his own house. So the verse continues, he did not do many works there because of their unbelief. So Jesus goes back to his home country during his adult ministry. No room. In John chapter 7, verse 5, it says, for neither did his brothers believe in him. Your brothers. No room for. Number five in your notes, there's no room in Samaria. Jesus is now ready to begin his journey toward Jerusalem. And in Luke 9, verse 52, it says he entered into a village of the Samaritans. But they didn't receive him. You're not going to make room for Jesus? No, not Samaria. What? James and John, they were so angry with the Samaritans, they wanted to call down fire from heaven and have heaven consume the Samaritans. Luke 9, verse 56, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then said he went on to another village. There's no room for Jesus there. Number 6, in John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. Again, the phrase is, he came to his own received him not. Think, wait a minute, in this world of people, in God's creation, and here's the Son of God manifest in the flesh, and the people in this area where Jesus is ministering do not give him welcome. Number 7, no room in the lives of his followers, or many of his followers. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus had many disciples gathered around him, and he was preaching a lesson to them. Some of them said, "That's a hard saying, Jesus." And because they did not agree with Jesus' message, they left. "Jesus, your message is not what I wanted to hear." So they left. The Son of God is giving them a heavenly inspired message, and they closed their ears and walked away from him. No room for Jesus in their life. They were followers until he said something they disagreed with. And then they left him. Left up what Jesus said. It's in the text. In John 6, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back, walked no more with him. No room for Jesus. So Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God." If you leave Jesus, just as Peter or Jesus said, to whom? Who are you going to go to? If you leave Jesus and his message, some guru over here? Even some of his followers, they were there until they didn't like what he said. It didn't suit their philosophy. It didn't match what they would like for him to say. So they bailed out on the Son of God. No room. Number 8. There was no room for Jesus in religious groups. Even then and now. In Luke 19, verse 47, he, meaning Jesus, daily in the temple. You think the temple, this religious place, Jesus, we want to hear what you have to say because you're the Messiah. Oh, but the verse continues, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. No room for Jesus in the temple? The ones who were the keepers of the Old Testament law, those who interpret the prophet message of old, and here comes the fulfillment of those prophecies, stands among them, teaching them, and they said, "We're going to destroy you, and we don't like what you said, Jesus." In Matthew 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. In verse 3, Jesus said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" See, what they were doing did not match what Jesus was teaching. And he said, "What you're doing is transgressing the commandment of God." Jesus says to them, "What you're doing is not acceptable. No matter what you think that these are religious traditions, they're good, we've been doing them for a long time." Jesus said, "No. You transgressed the commandment. commandment of God. And in verse 9, he says, in vain do you worship me, because you teach your doctrine the commandment of man. No room for Jesus. Jesus may one time ask his followers in Luke 6, verse 46, interesting question. You can ask yourself the same question. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? It's a penetrating question. So the people that are following him, Jesus is telling them, you're not in compliance with what I say. Why do you call me Lord, but you're not doing what I say? He's not applauding them just because they're following him. You're not following, Jesus said, you're not following me in the way that I've prescribed. I'm not giving you an attaboy. I'm not saying, well done. He's saying, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? You're transgressing the commandment of God. Remember today, there's no room for Jesus because they substituted what Jesus said for their own authority, or their own likes or dislikes, or their following some other man or person or committee or council or convention. And that becomes their authority in religious groups today instead of following Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. What Jesus said. Any interesting illustration or characterization? Says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, I hope that doesn't characterize us. Somebody that will not endure sound doctrine. And then he continues, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables. They'll turn aside to what they want to hear. Well, I like what this guy says. Sorry, Jesus. This guy's telling me what I want to hear. Or this lady. I don't have any room for Jesus because I like this message over here. And that's what happened to many of Jesus' disciples in John chapter 6. He gave a hard saying. I don't like what Jesus said. I'm out of here. No room for Jesus. Now we bring it home to number 9 and 10. No room for Jesus in our homes or personal life. Jesus sometimes gets crowded out because we lose priority. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye first. He says, seek. In other words, make room. Change your plans. Alter your schedule. Seek first. First. Kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. He's not saying you have to give up all this. No, just seek God first. These will still be in the mix. But make room for a king. Make room. That's the lesson today. Starts out in this cradle. No room in the end. No room in Jerusalem. You know, all through his ministry, he met with resistance. Don't crowd Jesus out of your life with your thanks. Give him priority. Start with a decision to become a Christian. Make room for a king in your life. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity. At the close of every lesson, we extend this invitation. You can come any time, but why not right now while we're gathered here to rejoice with you in your decision? A simple plan or formula. Number one, we just simply say, hear the good news message. That's a given. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in something you haven't heard of? So number one, we simply say, hear. Jesus said, come learn of me in Matthew 11, verse 33. Learn, and then believe it. And then you'll want to repent of your sins. Jesus himself said it in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Repent, or you'll perish. So there's a change of life that's involved. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. and then you'd be baptized for remission of sins. You rise to walk in newness of life in Romans chapter 6. From that point on, then you begin as a new babe in Christ to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend. That's your desire, if that's your resolve, become a Christian following those prescribed steps. Just come while we're singing the song and have a seat beside me and just let that request be made known at the close of the song. So let's stand together and sing the song.